ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
All right, always a pleasure on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Johnny in New Orleans. Johnny!
Good day!
Mike Ditka, are you in Naples, Mike?
No, I'm in Chicago right now.
He is in Chicago, the icon, all-around great guy, only man to ever win a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears. It's Mike Ditka. All right, right after we got off the air on Monday, Mike, we didn't get a chance to get your reaction because it hadn't happened. All the coaching fire, you had said these are men, these are families. It's always difficult to talk about coaching and firings. Well, seven were fired on that day or the next day. Lovie Smith, one of the ones fired. Were you surprised?
I really was. I really think Lovie's a good man. I know he's a good man, a good coach. And I think, you know, if Green Bay would end up beating Minnesota and they would have made the playoffs, I don't think it would have happened. But then again, you know, you bring in a new general manager, he wants to bring his own guy in. You know, and you can go back and say, well, we weren't that effective on offense and this and that. But, you know, I just think it's hard to find good coaches. And the one thing you said, you know, you're firing seven coaches, but you're firing, you know, maybe 12 to 15 assistant coaches and their families too. So, I mean, it's a big turnover, and it's really hard on families this time of year. The one thing you have to understand, guys, there's not a whole lot of loyalty in life. And if you become a head coach, chances are you're going to get fired someday. You have to understand that in the beginning, and I think most people do.
Well, I know it was marginal with Lovey, though. I thought he did good, too, Mike, with some of the injuries he had and had 10 wins. You could argue that one. But some of the other ones, Steve, I don't know what you can do when you're winning one or two and doesn't look like you're going to get any better.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. You had a lot of good coaches that had fairly good you know, they won some games and got fired, and then you have Rex Ryan keep his job, so that owner's going to be an idiot.
Well, I don't understand it either. Sometimes it's the record. Okay, it is. You have to win, but you have to look at how.
Well, the record, but the record is the defining factor, isn't it?
Well, it shouldn't always be, because you can have some pretty good games and some pretty good players go down through the year. I thought when you were in New Orleans, Mike, you had a good season. You had a good season. We had about eight games close. And we won three games, Mike, three games. But the next year we went into the playoffs. And when you took over this team, we couldn't play in the NFL. They couldn't compete. So that's an example, I think.
Right. I think the bottom line is you got to produce. And you know, it's all about wins. And there's so many people get in these owners and general managers' ears now. You know, the media, well. You know what I mean? And I think that sways a lot of people. I really do.
What effect has the internet had from the chat rooms and all the things said online, tweeting, Facebook, all that stuff that can be so damaging behind the scenes? Has that had an effect on the sport?
Well, I think it has. But, you know, you can't go by me because I don't do any of it. But I'm sure it does. I mean, has it had an effect on society? Just say, look at that. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about, you know, anything can show up anywhere, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that could, Steve. I think it comes down to the individual who's really going to have to make a call and how he's getting along with whoever's coaching, and whether they think they can maybe just sell more tickets because they have to make a change, and they just, it's just a business decision. Mike's right. It's not about loyalty. Sometimes it can be. And a coach will last a little longer. But,
I think sometimes, Ron, you're right. There can be loyalty. I think right now there's so much pressure that these guys, you know, if the coach isn't winning or the team isn't winning, then it's a reflection on the general manager. Now, I mean, when you went to the New York Jets, they fired the general manager, kept the head coach. I'm not sure I understand that. Are you saying that he's bringing in the players aren't good enough to coach? I don't know what they're saying in New York. And that's why I think it's asinine. If you're going to clean house, clean house. If you're not, leave them all, stay there.
Well, they took out, didn't they fire the offensive coordinator? And I guess they're going to say, well, Rex can handle a good defense. We've got to get someone else. We'll be fine because the offense was terrible.
But that's wrong. That's wrong. The defense was horrible. Very horrible. It was terrible. And the offense was no better. And Sanchez is no better. So you can make all the excuses that you want to why they didn't play Tebow or didn't give him a chance. That's their problem.
Well, but, I tell you what.
The same thing happened out in last year out in Denver, you know. They went 8-8 and made the playoffs with Tebow. I'm just saying, And, you know, they aren't going to do that with Sanchez. I don't care what they think they're going to do. So could he have changed things for them? No, but I guarantee you they would have won a few more games.
Well, it's kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, if you're not very good during the year, but somehow make the tournament, make a run, you're a hero. I mean, Tom Coughlin of the Giants last year weren't very good in November, and they win the Super Bowl. He's a hero. Now they don't make the playoffs, and Tom Coughlin's in trouble. I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, he's not in trouble, but you're right. I mean, it's the old saying, guys, what have you done for me lately? No.
Exactly.
I mean, it's basically what it is.
Well, it's amazing the business that it is, but I know one thing, Mike, that if Johnny and I owned the Chicago Bears, it'd be one coach for us. It'd be coach for life. Dicka! That's what I do. That's what I do.
Well, I'm with you, Stevie.
I tell you, that's a hard job right now.
It's a hard job.
A lot of hours and a lot of time and a lot of hours, and you got to put up with a lot of immature people. And it's just bothersome, or else you got to get rid of them, one of the two. My policy would have been get rid of them, but you can't get rid of everybody.
I'll tell you, Mike, you mentioned Tebow. He was in New Orleans Wednesday for the Sugar Bowl, and it was kind of neat because I got to see our friend Danny Werfel, and Stevie, he and Emmett Smith walked out of the field for Florida, and Tom Jackson was with Muhammad Ali flipping the coin for Louisville.
Wow.
It was kind of neat seeing, although he's getting on that well, but
yeah.
He was there, and he went to Louisville. Mike, I didn't even know that. And
Tommy went to Louisville, and of course, Muhammad Ali's from Louisville, but that was pretty interesting. But I listened to some of the things that were the talk shows that Tebow did. I thought it was outstanding. He's a class kid.
Yeah, he really is. He's going to go somewhere and improve an organization just by his presence. I mean, nobody knows what he'll do football-wise, but as a human, he's an amazing kid.
I like to believe the trickle-down effect works.
Yep.
You know, you get around good people, sometimes it helps you.
7:42, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. To the NFL playoffs, we begin with Saturday. Mike, what's your take? Cincinnati-Houston.
Well, I believe I picked Cincinnati. I really I don't know what the heck's going on in Houston. I really don't. I think they've lost some confidence. I know they can run the football, and I know what their defensive line does. But Cincinnati's not a bad football team. They can run the ball, too. They got some good receivers, and they play pretty good defense, too. So I think they're kind of on a downturn. I picked Cincinnati to win.
I don't know, Steve. I'm sticking with the Texans. We did go kind of on a skid. Remember when the Saints won the Super Bowl, lost their last three. Mike's right, though. They haven't showed up here lately.
They struggled at the quarterback position a little bit with Shaw. But, you know, listen, I actually picked Cincinnati, but I do believe Houston will win the game.
All right.
Think Houston's going anywhere, John.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
They just haven't been on their game. They started out like a ball of fire, we'll have to see if they can start a new season.
Minnesota at Green Bay.
Well, I can't. I got to pick Green Bay, but I know what happened. And right now, Minnesota understands they can beat Green Bay. They know how they're going to do it. They know how to do it. And if they go up there and do what they did a week ago in Minnesota, they can beat them again. But, I mean, I just got too much respect for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and I think I'm going to go with Green Bay because Minnesota gets used to playing inside. And if they can stop Peterson at all, which they couldn't last week, then I think Aaron Rodgers can take them. But that could go – they go to overtime, didn't they, just this last game?
Yeah. No, I don't
know.
And
that's so hard when you're playing that interdivision team too, huh, Mike? I mean, it almost comes down to who drops the ball.
This is the third time now.
All right, Indianapolis to Baltimore on Sunday. Does Indy have a chance, Mike?
I picked them. I really do. I think they got a big chance. Baltimore's got some problems right now. They know what they have to do. You know, everybody talks about Indy being small on defense, but they shape up pretty well. They can rush the passer. They can stop the run very well. They got some good weapons on offense. The running back's playing good for them. The quarterback is outstanding. So I like them to pull an upset.
Yeah, I think Indiana's going too, Stevie. Baltimore's another one that's been really struggling down the stretch.
Yeah. All right, Seattle at Washington. Can the Seahawks stay hot?
Well, see, the Seahawks are the most interesting team in the thing right now. I mean, they really are. doing some great things, and Russell Wilson. I'm going to pick Washington because I just want Washington to win. So that's my favorite. Well, I mean, I love what the kid does, but, you know, you're talking about two of the best young quarterbacks, young teams, good coaches. You know, you're talking about both have good running games, both can play well. I think Seattle plays a little better defense. I really do, but it's going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be Seattle. They're just rolling, and Carroll's got that kind of kind of run, but boy, that's going to be. These are games I want to see because there's the two quarterbacks. Like Mike said, Steve, you got the two of the best rookies ever.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun all weekend. Monday we'll get back together and talk about that national title game Monday night between Notre Dame and Alabama. We shift to politics. I had CEO and editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, Steve Forbes, on earlier this hour. I've always liked Steve Forbes, presidential candidate of 96. He's a common-sense guy. I asked him about the disgust people had for government right now, and did it really matter?
I think the disgust is profound, and one of the things I think the White House is beginning to miscalculate is the president, and I'm afraid is going to overplay his hand, is that he's going to get hurt by this as well. He's not going to be seen as above the fray.
And do you think this country will survive all of this?
Amazingly, yes. It's a very, very strong country. And I just remember, before you were born, back in the 1970s, what a miserable decade that was, and how, you know, each time it looked like we were getting back on our feet, we got knocked down again. It looked like that we were really in decline by the late 70s. And then you start to see big reform movements, and Ronald Reagan gets elected, reforms are made, and this country comes roaring back.
All right, so positive from Steve Forbes, Mike, about us coming back.
Yeah, if you can find another Ronald Reagan. Can you find another one? Do we have another one? Is there another one? I don't know.
Johnny Cacciatorian, Mike. Johnny Cacciatorian's another Reagan.
Well, that's fine. But the liberal point of view has infused America. I mean, it's basically, I mean, we've become a game of pointers, doubters, liberals. To me, it's crazy. But that's what I see anyway. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. But I think America is the greatest country on earth. But we got to find somebody who can lead. We don't have any leadership right now.
And that's the thing that bothers.
And
it's just not only, you know, you can have poor leadership without having, untrusted leadership. Our biggest problem is the American people can do anything. We've been saying, look, we can solve any problem, but we're not trying. We've done absolutely nothing to fix this overspending, oversized government. Absolutely nothing. We'll have a larger deficit this year than last year. And the worst thing is, it's not just disgusted with government. There's no confidence and no trust. And that means when things go wrong, the reaction can be catastrophic because whatever we're told to do, we may not believe to do it. Or it may not be the right thing to do. So that's where we could get in trouble. And I hope Steve Forbes is right and that we can hang in there and we won't make it so bad that – really, we have to reset the whole thing. We're all going to survive one way or another, but I'd like to keep this system of principles and the Constitution that we've come up with that's done so well for mankind, really.
You're right, John. Yeah, that would, it would be nice to keep the main platform there. I mean, what we're all about, but... And people really have it's amazing to me. And we talk about the fiscal cliff and we talk about these things. And I'm saying, guys, 95% of the people don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many care, really.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, final segment, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. So we have this whole fiscal cliff deal for a couple of months. And then,
on the one hand, if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, there's always the potential there for a default. If they do raise the debt ceiling, though, without doing anything about spending, ratings agencies like Moody's may downgrade the country's credit rating. And if that happens, that increases our borrowing costs every single year.
All right. So the debt ceiling, Johnny, the next crisis just on the horizon before the end of February.
Well, and that what that means, Steve, is that we can't borrow any more money to pay the government expenses that we're overspending because we have to borrow since we're bringing in about $2 trillion and spending about $3 trillion. So that's got to be done. And I think that they'll raise the debt ceiling because what else can they do? The president is absolutely satisfied with whatever happens at this point. I don't know what his motive is. I don't know where he's going, but he's just going to watch Congress. And you can't play chicken with a guy who thinks he cannot lose. He's not going to move out of the road. So if you're just playing the game and trying to bluff, he's not bluffing. And I don't know what he's doing, but he's not going to do one thing about cutting spending. Watch. So
you heard the old saying, stay the course. I mean, if the course is wrong and you stay it, you're going to go off the road somewhere. And that's basically what we're going to do if we keep this spending. Something's got to come under control. I mean, you can say, okay, we'll raise taxes, fine. But that's not going to do anything. You've got to have some controls on what you're spending. And then, guys, every time I look up, it's like now, you know, the Republican congressman got mad because Boehner went against the help to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. But listen, there was so much pork in there, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Does a couple million dollars going into California or to make fix the stoplight or something? What's that got to do with it?
I got a little list here. For the Sandy relief, there was $100 million for Head Start, $188 million for Amtrak, $41 million for military bases, $56 million for charting debris from last year's Japanese tsunami. They put $155 million for fisheries in Alaska. This is Sandy relief, and it's just like Boehner probably. Steve Forbes said Boehner should have made the vote today after he was reinstituted as the speaker, and not put it off for 2 weeks because politically we lost again on that one.
Well, and
did we lose or did we do the right thing? I mean, because if you're going to just keep saying, okay, we're going to keep rolling this bill, keep pushing that ball down the road, that's what you're going to do.
But I don't know why that they don't read that off the list and say, we want to pass this relief for Sandy today, but we
absolutely
have to eliminate
that's
this.
That's what I would do.
But you don't, you know, if people are listening to us, Mike, they'll know about it. But other than that, no one's talking about that. They're not going to let... That's another problem we've got. We can't get the full story. So how do we know what's really going on?
If you watch CNBC or MC or any of these other channels outside of Fox News, you will not hear about the pork that was in that bill.
Right.
You won't hear about that. I mean, that's a fact. So, I mean, when it's brought up and people are, well, I mean, what the hell is he going in there to fix a streetlight or something? I mean, what's that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
And I heard from somebody that's a I heard yesterday someone just made a comment, pretty staunch, more of a conservative, saying, I don't know why the Republicans wouldn't give the Sandy people money. That's what you hear.
Yeah.
You know, you're working, you're doing things. You don't know all the details.
Absolutely. It's exactly what you hear, and that's why they get the bad name, and they're the bad guys, and they're trying to tear down America, when the guy just tearing down America is in the White House.
Well, right. And then you've got, the Congress is the butt of all the late-night jokes and all this stuff going on. Then John Boehner, I think, says something that I wouldn't have said, and that is, I'm no longer going to meet with the president. We're going to do the procedure in the House and pass bills. Well, you always want to meet with the president, but you don't have to do what he wants. You can stand your ground. That's what I think a lot of people want. They would say, listen, we got to quit this stuff and get this baby back on road.
Well, but there again, Steve, the other side of that is John would meet the president, and then here comes out of the White House things that never happened and make him look like this, that, and the other, and he's tired of going in the room, and then they make up what was going on.
Yeah.
So he's staying out of the room. I mean, how many times can you get burned? I've never seen an organization survive that acted like this. And I don't know if it's an exception when it's the top organization on earth. We'll see. But
all right, let me ask you.
Do this.
Bottom line, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, you both run businesses. You both hire people. Would anybody that you've seen performing in Congress be somebody as a body you would hire?
I'd hire a couple of them. I would hire Rand Paul, for example.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'd hire Paul Ryan. Those guys seem honest to me.
But as a body of work, I mean, they're dysfunctional, aren't they?
Well, I wouldn't hire Nancy Pelosi, Mike, and all without being derisive or anything. I wouldn't hire her. I don't trust her.
No, I think that's where you're wrong. You got to hire Nancy Pelosi because – put her outside on the street, and she can and let her cry. Like she cries, and let her whine, and she brings people in. I mean, well, come on in and have a glass of our wine.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Coach, you on ESPN this weekend, I trust.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there again. I don't know. I keep showing up.
Well, you
look great, man. Keep it going. And
all right,
we'll
guys.
See you.
Take care. God bless
we'll
you.
We'll talk to you on Monday. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, 95.3. He did not.